Our scripture reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old received divine approval. By faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise and as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord. This is unusual for someone to use the music stand, I know, to preach to you, but when you wear those graduated bifocal things, you know, and when you're short like I am, it's really tough to be at a pulpit. So the music stand works well for me, and so I hope you're okay with that. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you this morning. We have listened to your word. We have sung your praises. We have come to feel your presence, your Holy Spirit, to be with us, to strengthen us, and to be amongst us. And so, Lord, pray your blessing upon this humble message that you have given to your humble servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you watched your grandchildren at play? Or have you been to the mall walking and heard the excitement and the energy at the indoor playground area? Then, after that, have you heard yourself saying, "Oh, to have that much energy? I'd give anything to have just a smidgen of that energy." What is it? What is it that we see that nudges us to watch and then to reflect? Is it the joy of children caused by the simplicity of play? The interaction that sees no difference in age or in ability? Is it their acceptance of one another no matter what race or gender or economic status? For a moment, we recognize that deep down, we long for that same sense of well-being. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." A childlike faith is one of acceptance and forgiveness. Faith that is trusting and willing to move without boundaries. Unfortunately, the experience of life as we tend to age, when it tends to impinge upon the joy and the freedom that we had as children of faith. We learn that if we want to succeed in life, there are stipulations and responsibilities that hold us back. We learn that others are not always kind and compassionate. We learn to place a guard around our hearts and to keep our thoughts to ourselves in order to protect our feelings. And we learn to play it safe. We learn that you may not always land on your feet when you try a new idea. Somewhere, I read some amazing information about an antelope known as the African impala. These residents of southern and eastern Africa are amazing leapers. They can jump to a height of over 10 feet, and one leap can cover a distance greater than 30 feet. Yet, these magnificent animals can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot-high wall. You see, impalas will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. That's a wise and conservative approach to life. Do not jump if you cannot see where your feet will fall. We have a saying about that. Look before you leap. The 11th chapter of Hebrews has a different approach to life, though. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's the very opposite of look before you leap. Faith is jumping without being able to see where our feet will fall. We also have a saying, seeing is believing. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us again, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Have we become so uncertain about life in general that we have lost hope? The writer of Hebrews felt that the people then were headed in that direction. Thinking of recent events, the mass killings, the racist actions, we too have that sense of defeatedness and even sometimes hopelessness. We hear our young people saying and seeing a faithless society. And so, the writer of Hebrews says to us today, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation that makes life worth living. William Cowper was an English poet and a hymn writer. He had studied law and was admitted to the bar in 1754. Strangely enough, he never practiced law. He had a shy and gentle nature, and he was not emotionally equipped to deal with the stress and the strain associated with the profession. He suffered intense fits of melancholy and spiritual despair. It is told that one evening he summoned a London hackney driver and directed him to drive to the Thames River. A heavy fog blanketed the city for more than an hour, and the driver cautiously traveled along the obscured streets in search of the river. Little did the driver know that his noticeably impatient passenger had resolved to relieve his troubled mind by plunging into a watery grave. Cowper had weighed everything, and in the balance, life had no longer seemed worth the bother. Angered by the delay and anxious to get on with his plan, Cowper lunged from the hackney and set out to find the river on his own. The fog was very dense, and he wandered and groped for what seemed like an eternity. And finally, he discovered himself standing on his own doorstep. Coincidence? Not in Cowper's judgment. He went directly to his room, took up his pen and paper, and he wrote the words to a new hymn, "God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." The guiding presence of the Holy Spirit is frequently best acknowledged with hindsight. Do you not remember, says the writer of Hebrews? Then let me remind you of the people of the faith. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command. By faith, Noah built the ark in the middle of the desert. By faith, Abraham traveled to an unknown place that would become his home. By faith, Sarah was unable to have a child and became pregnant. By faith, Moses refused the privileges of the royal house and lived a hard life rather than to be a part of oppression. By faith, the people of Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry land. And there are more: Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and Rahab and Esther and on and on. Hindsight. Hindsight is remembering what has happened before. Hindsight is a valuable tool for living our lives. May I ask you today, do you pause and look at with hindsight at what you have overcome with the help of God? I invite you to do that this week. With hindsight, look at what you have been able to overcome with the help of God. What you have achieved by God's grace is what we're talking about. Are you willing to renew your faith and then also renew your hope? The book of Hebrews wants us to understand something else about these people of faith. Despite their obedience and their courage, their trust and their devotion, they did not experience a fulfillment of their hopes and expectations. I'm going to say that again. Despite their obedience and their courage, their trust and devotion, they did not experience the fulfillment of their hopes and expectations. They only saw them and greeted them from a distance. Abraham went through trouble after trouble and threat after threat and test after test. It's just one example. When Abraham arrived at exactly the place God told him to go, he encountered a famine. Striking out with God on a great adventure wasn't always easy. Hebrews wants to make that point because when the community at that time experienced persecution and trouble, they were tempted to drift away. We may feel a similar temptation. Church members rarely decide that they no longer believe in the elements of faith. They don't sit down one day and decide that they don't believe in God anymore. They don't consciously decide that the church has no mission. And they don't decide that Jesus was just a man after all. Christians move away from the church in a different process. They tend to drift away. Too often, this drifting away happens when youth leave high school after years of participating in church. They go off to college, only to drift away from church. Other things seem to be more interesting. There's so much to do, so much to adjust to. And there's other things that must be more helpful. Without the familiarity of their home church, they don't have the invitation and the motivation to get involved. People sometimes drift away slowly, one turned off alarm clock at a time. Sometimes, one bad experience at the church, one argument within the church, one incident of hurt feelings will cause people to drift away and say, I no longer go there. A change in pastors at a congregation will cause some people to drift away also. Sometimes they drift away because of the church's lack of action and sensitivity to what is happening in the world today. Rather than showing excitement and energy in our time together, the church seems to be routine. So how is God working even in the routine, even in the ordinary, even when it seems like nothing much is happening? There is a difference, you know, between a rut and a routine. A rut is being stuck with no energy. No energy to try anything different. And a routine is that smooth running that's needed for a large congregation. That smooth running that happens so that when you come into worship, you feel the presence of God. Hebrews is saying that we need to be aware and to be confident that our faith is not in a rut. And if it is, and if we find ourselves tempted to drift away because of some incident, because of some argument, then we need to look again. How exactly do we feed our faith? How does faith grow stronger? Where do we find the assurance of things hoped for? True faith is a matter of both head and heart. We need to ask ourselves, what exactly do we believe about Christ? Do we believe, even if we do not fully understand how it is true, that Christ was the reflection of God's glory? Do we believe that Christ has entered our world and has tasted both the joys and the agonies of being human like us? When we look back at some moment of human weaknesses that make us wince, do we believe that Christ understands that moment and became like us in order to redeem us? If we do believe these things, what should we do about it? From Abraham, we learn that faith grows best in a soil of risk. We also learn that we may not see results right away. We may not know until the resurrection how God was working to use and redeem our efforts. In spite of uncertainty, we keep going on. Being willing to wait until God's time to see the results is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is maintaining confidence in God even when we are still hoping. When we wrestle in our heads with what we believe and then step out in faith, our hearts will follow. That sense of trust will begin to grow again. If we hang in there and we wrestle with our faith until we have strengthened our faith, until we trust with our hearts, we will find something that surprises us. We will be able to draw on the people of faith like Abraham. And when we reflect and experience the calm assurance of God's grace, we too will be able to say, my faith is the firm foundation that makes life worth living. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know